Hello, hello. You're listening to the Career Changemaker podcast. Having the courage to leave a career that you have worked hard to build and try something else can be tough. So in each episode, we dive into key career change strategies so that you have a clear understanding of what is required to transition into a new role or a new industry without feeling like you have to start at the bottom or have to take a massive pay cut. Because hashtag ain't nobody got time for that. If you are ready for frank and honest discussions about how to become a career changemaker, keep listening. I'm your host, lawyer turned career strategist and executive coach, Janine Esbrand. Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. If you are somebody who has experienced an unexpected setback in your career, I want you to lean in to today's episode because I am interviewing an amazing guest. She is a journalist, a marketing consultant, and the author of the book Setback Cycle. And in my conversation with Amy Schoenthal, we talk about how you can leverage the setbacks that you experience in your career to move you forward towards what you really want and what you really need on your career journey. It's an awesome conversation. So without further ado, let's dive in. Hi, Amy. I am so excited to have you on the show. Before we dive into all the juicy things that I want to talk to you about, would you introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. Thank you for having me. I'm Amy Schoenthal. I'm a journalist, author, marketing consultant, and I've been studying the habits of successful leaders for the past 20 years through my marketing career, my freelance writing, all the articles I've written about today's most prominent founders and leaders. And the thing that led me to write this book, The Setback Cycle, is the fact that I kept seeing through all those interviews that everyone's success story seemed to come from climbing out of some sort of setback.
Oh, I love that. That is so, so interesting. Okay, before we get into that, tell us a bit about your journey to where you are right now. So you mentioned that you had a marketing career and, you know, now you do some incredible things. You're an author. But tell me a bit about your career transition. A lot of the people that listen to this podcast, our audience, are people who are contemplating making a career change and making a transition. And it's always helpful to hear stories of inspiration from other people. So tell us a bit about your journey to this point.
Of course. So I went to school for journalism. I am, like, by nature, I am a writer. That is always what I have wanted to be and do. And at least where I live on the East Coast in the United States, it's really hard to make a career out of journalism. And so I graduated from school and got a job in public relations, which is a subset of marketing. And I just continued to grow that marketing career. I worked across other disciplines, social media, influencer marketing. And I grew into a pretty senior marketing executive role over the years. And I worked on really big brands like Google, Procter & Gamble, all the things. But I never gave up on that little writing side hobby. I always called it a hobby because I didn't really make a lot of money from it. But I loved it and I never gave it up. So wherever I could find somewhere and someone who would publish my stories, I would write. You know, I wrote for real estate magazines and really anywhere. And I started writing for Forbes, I think in like 2016. So about 8 years ago, I started writing for Forbes and they really gave me a platform. And the name Forbes has a lot of cachet to it. And so once I started writing a little bit more for them, I was being approached by pretty high visibility people, you know, senators, celebrities, really prominent leaders, billionaires. It was wild. And I took every opportunity to talk to those people because I thought, oh my goodness, when am I ever going to be able to do this again? And who knows how long any of this lasts? And I did all of that while maintaining my full-time job. I worked at a marketing firm through all of these years. Now, if anyone here knows what happens to women over 40 in marketing, especially if they become a mother, it gets really, really, really hard to maintain your status as an executive. There's only like a very few, unfortunately, very few spots for women in marketing. And then, you know, just sort of like go down the rung of marginalization and your chances of succeeding as you climb the ladder get thinner and thinner. So I had a child in 2018 when I came back from maternity leave, which, by the way, I only got 12 weeks. So yeah, 12 weeks, which isn't even a full 3 months. So I went back, and when I came back after less than 3 months, not a very long time, I was removed from some of the accounts and some of the responsibilities that I had built over the years. And I had been there quite a long time and done quite a bit of work and built some foundational things that were critical to the agency. And I was told, you don't have to worry about that anymore. So what happens when you sideline an ambitious person, woman, mother, you know, someone who has energy, you know, she's going to direct her energy and ambition elsewhere. So I turned to my writing hobby. And I wrote more and more, and I sought out more opportunities, and I got invited to speak on stages and come to events. And all of a sudden, the visibility of my writing started to really skyrocket, and I leaned all the way into it. I accepted the abundance, and all of a sudden, you know, I got a book deal, and I started taking on freelance marketing clients because people would talk to me about my full-time job and think, oh, I kind of need that, but I don't want to work with a big agency. Would you do that for me as an individual? And so all of a sudden, I'm helping people with their thought leadership. I'm ghostwriting articles for them. I'm helping them with their LinkedIn strategy. And eventually, a couple years go by, perhaps unsurprisingly, I was laid off from my full-time job. I mean, this is what happens when they slowly remove your responsibilities. And when I lost that job, I kind of looked around and realized I actually have a very full career. So I took what I had built with those small, you know, couple of clients on the side, and I just started talking about it and telling people, hey, I do this now. Now this is my full-time thing. Lo and behold, 2 months later, you know, I had built the foundation of my business.
Yes.
Two months later, I had signed my two really big clients, and that was it. And then I was a full-time marketing consultant, and I am still working with those clients today, about a year later, and it's been wonderful. So being laid off was not actually my career setback. It was my green light to move forward. Being sidelined after maternity leave was my setback that I had been going through the whole time. And while I was writing this book.
Oh my goodness. That is such an interesting journey, but so wild. Like, as someone who, I went on maternity leave and I had a full year off, and then came back and was like, okay, what are we doing with my career? And that was the thing that really sparked for me figuring out what I wanted to do and really leaning into coaching. And then that led to me coaching other people. So it's really interesting to hear how that whole situation then led you to do your own thing on the side. Mm-hmm. And then that own thing turned into your main thing. So talk to me a bit more about the setback piece in that, because as you tell the story, and whenever we kind of are reflecting in retrospect on the story, we can tell it, right? In terms of chronologically, yeah, this is what happened. But like, talk to me about the feelings because,
oh my God,
when you're in that moment of like, I've come back to work and then they're taking stuff away from me. I mean, how do we deal?
It was so funny for me at that time because so many people around me were saying, oh, that's amazing. You have less responsibility. That's so great because you have a baby at home. But this whole like, rah, rah, that's amazing vibe I was getting from everyone, it's not how I felt inside. I wanted to do more. I love my daughter. I still love my daughter, obviously. But being home with an infant was really hard. And I was really excited to go do something else. Yeah. And so I had a lot of energy that I wanted to put towards going back to work. And here's the thing I learned in all of my research about setbacks and how people work through career, personal, relationship, societal setbacks. One of the most common things is how many people ignore it or pretend they're not in it or try to run away from it. And that's exactly what I did. I ignored it. I kept telling everyone around me, oh, yeah, it's fine. I tried to embrace the whole vibe of, oh, this is a gift. It's nice to have less responsibility. But of course, I just took whatever free time I had and I put it towards writing. So clearly I didn't, you know, that's just how I operate. And it was really fun and it was lighting me up. So I did it. But that's why the first phase, there's four phases of the setback cycle. Phase one is establish. And you wouldn't think I need to dedicate an entire phase to establishing you're in a setback. And look, some setbacks are obvious. That layoff that happened to me, sometimes that is very often someone's setback. That is an establish. You are laid off. You have to figure out what to do next. That is very complicated. It's very difficult. It is certainly a career setback for many. I mean, look, it was definitely a financial setback for me. Something that's an emotional gift or exciting celebratory moment can also be a financial setback. And that's what my layoff was. Now, establishes phase one, what you have to do once you establish you're in a setback is you have to embrace what's happening. So the question you asked me is talk about the feelings. Embrace phase two is when we have to actually acknowledge that this is just, you know, we have to acknowledge our discomfort, that this is something that is upsetting us. Perhaps we felt like this before, and this moment is dredging up a lot of other things. Like, I have a self-consciousness around intelligence, and I've felt like I've always had to prove my value because I'm a woman, and I'm kind of bubbly and energetic, and I talk a lot, and I'm chatty. And for some reason, people equate that with a lack of intelligence. And so I've always felt that I had to combat that. And now getting laid off really dredged that up. Oh my God, I wasn't ever valuable there. I wasn't good at my job. I'm not smart enough to have that role. Just kind of brings it all up. And so what, when you're in a setback, what else is it bringing up? Why is this impacting you so much? And the third phase of the setback cycle is explore. So once you've felt all that, you've established you're in a setback, you've embraced the feelings, you've kind of gleaned the information and looked at the clues, it's time to go have some fun and figure out what you're maybe going to do next. And one of the best things you can do during explore is go talk to your community and figure out how expansive your community really is. Draw connections to people you might not have otherwise reached out to. And so one of the things I did in those weeks after getting laid off was I was on the phone with everyone I knew, and I am not a phone person, but that's how I got those two big clients. And then all of a sudden, people wanted to work with me, not me as part of a big company, just me. And now I'm almost a year later, still in, you know, very good standing with those clients, plus the many more I've taken on since then. And it's, you know, that whole like self-doubt that comes with me thinking I have any sort of lack of value or intelligence, it's really helped, you know? And so I think turning to the community is what's really helpful. Go to your best friends, go to people you know, go to people you kind of know, but not really that well. It's hard, but it's really, really worth it. And it's the best way to work through a setback. And that gets you to phase four, which is emerge. And that's when you come out of your setback, you figure out the path forward. You're like the butterfly emerging from the cocoon, and you spread your beautiful wings and hope you never have a setback again.
I think that is so fantastic. Just to have a framework around that is so, so helpful. What do you think makes the difference between the person who goes through that four-step process and the person who faces a setback and then just allows it to rock their confidence to the point where they no longer want to show up and do the thing, right? Because there's people who will face challenges like the one that you did and take that on as, yeah, I'm not good enough. No, I can't do it. And then not pursue their goals. And so when you think about the leaders that you've interviewed and the people that you've, you know, spoken to for the book and around this topic, how do we identify the type of person who would be like, yes, I'm going to embrace the phases versus not?
Number one, anyone can embrace the phases. I think what you're talking about is someone who gets very stuck in embrace.
Okay.
You know, you get stuck in embrace and you can, you know, while you're taking in all the information and dredging up the self-doubt, you can get stuck in rumination. You can get stuck in shame spiral where you're just totally ashamed of what's happened and you're completely blaming yourself. Or on the other side, you're completely blaming someone else for your problems. And more often than not, the answer lies in the middle. It is usually not one person or another person's fault. It is some sort of combination of factors that led to your setback. So just try to be as objective as possible. I think what the leaders who I wrote about, the ones who persevered through setbacks and came out the other side in this really incredible way, the setback that they went through was not their first. So one of the neuroscientists that I interviewed told me that she was able to prove in her lab that people who have worked through setbacks before are better at problem solving and reasoning. And that makes sense because when you've been bumped back to start before, you kind of understand how to get your way out of it. But the biggest mistake we make is just wash, rinse, repeat. You get laid off from a job, you go try to find a job exactly like the one you left or were forced out of. You get dumped in a relationship and you try to go find a partner that's exactly like the one you left. You don't take the time to cycle through the phases and do the work and understand what maybe wasn't serving you on that original path. I mean, the reason I wrote this book is because I kept noticing that everyone would say, I was working towards this one thing. I got bumped backwards. Mm-hmm. That was my setback. But then the path I carved instead of that original goal I was working towards ended up being so much better than where I was initially heading. And that's because they did the work and they tried to understand, like, okay, that didn't work out because of X, Y, and Z. I'm going to take the learnings and I'm going to apply them to whatever I do in the future. And if you've done that before, you know, there's, again, there's a lot of neuroscience behind why our brains work like this.
Yeah.
We're trying to make sure that we are chasing the rewards. We're chasing the dopamine hits, and a setback results in a dopamine dip.
Yes.
But that's where the transformation happens. We're always like avoiding these dopamine dips because we don't like discomfort. We don't like ickiness, but that's where you learn. That's where the brain basically changes, because you are inputting more information from the dips, because you really want to understand how to avoid that uncomfortable situation, versus when you're getting a dopamine hit and you're like, oh, that was fun, let's do it again. You're not really being creative if everything's going well. You're like, okay, great, let's continue.
This is so true.
And then, yeah, so I think that's really what the people who go through setbacks and come out the other side have in common. They've been through it before. They don't ignore it. And they really put a level of thoughtfulness into it so mm-hmm. that they don't just continue on the same hamster wheel that they've always been on, just with a different maybe like name, title, job, partner, et cetera.
Hey, 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 I am super excited because I have a handful of spots open for one-to-one coaching. I am looking to work with more of you who are highly ambitious, very driven, know where you want to get to, but are struggling to get there because you feel as though you're being overlooked and undervalued for the contribution that you're making. You know that you need to get more visible. You know that you need to show up more. You understand that creating a personal brand that is speaking for you when you're not in the room is important so that you can move towards your career goals, but you don't quite know how to make it happen. And for you, I am extending the invitation to come and join me inside of Elevate. This is my one-to-one high-touch coaching program that is designed to help you to advance into your next role, secure your next client, position yourself for the opportunities that you want by being intentional with your personal brand, making sure that your digital footprint is tight. Yes, I mean, LinkedIn is looking good and attracting the right opportunities, and making sure that you're able to show up with confidence and fully articulate the value that you're able to bring to your next opportunity. I am excited to dig deep, come up with your personalized strategy and your plan, and support you with the accountability and coaching that is required to help you to get there. So if this sounds good to you, if you know that you need some support with really taking your career to the next level, book a call with me and let's explore you joining the Elevate program. So head over to careerchangemakers.com/call so that you can book a fitting call, and then let's have a conversation about whether or not this program is a good fit for you. I look forward to speaking to you.
Yeah, that is so good, because I think you're right. Trying to avoid the hard feelings and the hard things is something that many people do, but actually there's so much learning and growth that happens in the setbacks, because then you're able to redirect and do the thinking. So often I feel like people are on autopilot and don't take the time to really consider what went wrong, why did it go wrong, why am I not happy, why is this not aligned, what do I need to do to redirect. And so I just love the way that this is framed. I've never thought about it this way, and I'm sure anyone else who's listening has never thought about the stages as, it's almost like you're expanding it out, right? Like in terms of breaking down the phases, it's not just like, oh, you've gone through something, get over it. It's like, no, you've got
no. Well, that's the problem. Everyone says you've gone through something, get over it. But I was like, why? How do we get over it? I want to know how to get over it. I want other people to know. And so I broke it down into the phases. And by the way, this was a collaboration. I interviewed a lot of experts to come to these phases. So this is all very scientific and evidence-based. Now, the thing that people who are reading the book have told me is that they're now viewing their own life experiences, whether they're in it now or they went through it a couple years ago, decades ago, they're now viewing their own life experiences with a whole new lens. And that's really helpful. You know, we now have like a name to assign to things, because when I started unpacking what I was seeing, it didn't all fall under one category that I could really identify. It wasn't all post-traumatic growth, because not every setback is a trauma, but it wasn't always like just as simple as learning from our mistakes, because a setback is not always a mistake you made. And so that's why I came across the concept of setbacks, because the definition of setback is a reversal or checking in progress. So it's sort of that like pulling backwards or forced rerouting.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so good. So good. One of the things that stood out to me too in terms of your journey was that piece around how you activated your network and how you got super, super visible that led you to where you are now. I'd love for you to speak briefly on that because I think so many people have their head down doing the work in their industry, in their role, but they're not intentional about getting known outside of their organization. Because when I'm hearing your story, it's like if you had just focused on your marketing career and you hadn't been doing the stuff on the side, you may have got to where you are right now, but not as quickly, because you laid the foundation whilst you were doing, you know, your day job. So can you speak a little bit to that? I know you mentioned that you're like an outgoing, talkative, you know, bubbly person. So that always lends itself well. But what are your thoughts on particularly women taking the step to be more visible and build up their kind of reputation outside of their current role?
Well, I'll back up and just say that I started doing this more consciously and intentionally once I was sidelined after maternity leave. You know, I was very focused on my marketing career and my full-time job for so long. That was it. That was my identity. And I fell into the trap of last name syndrome, which is when you are a person who goes out into the world and you're identified by your first name and your job. Amy from X job, that's last name syndrome. It's when your whole identity gets caught up in your job. And eventually, I was not known as that. I was just known as Amy. And it's actually harder to introduce myself now because I'm like, I'm a journalist and an author, and I'm also a marketing consultant. And it sort of depends what I'm doing on any given day. They all work together. It's all like storytelling and connections making and like organizing and, you know, creating systems for things. But they're sort of separate pieces of my day to day. But what I did in those years after maternity leave was I was seeking answers. And I knew that other people had probably been through similar things. And so I joined a bunch of, you know, women's professional networks. And I always explored my curiosity, like, oh, this person's doing this. I'm interested in it. Maybe I'll just email her and see if she wants to grab a coffee. So I have a whole chapter on community in the book. And I encourage people to make connecting a habit. So if you start making it a habit, it will become a habit. So start small. Every night when you sit down on your couch at the end of the day, send one text that you would not have otherwise sent to someone. Check in on them. How are you? High school best friend. Haven't talked to you in a while. How are you? What's new? Okay. And then every day send a text to someone. Then extend that, like once you get comfortable, extend to someone you don't know as well. Hey, I noticed you know, we worked together 6 years ago and I noticed you were doing this. That's so interesting. Maybe offer to help. I'd love to see if I can support you. I noticed we live in the same neighborhood. Let me know if you want to get coffee. You know, just like make a little connection and give a reason why you're reaching out and send a LinkedIn message or an email to someone that you don't know that well. But once you make connecting a habit, it becomes easier to do. And then all of a sudden, you know, that visibility and that network, I was going to say it becomes more vast, but really it already is vast. You just have to kind of make those connections that are already there, and you have to foster those relationships because your network is much bigger than you probably realize. And it can feel awkward to reach out, but it's almost always less awkward than you think once you actually get over the fear of making the outreach. Now, look, not maybe people won't respond, but if you start doing it every day, and you get 5 responses out of 7 per week, that's going to get less icky feeling. So yes, make connecting a habit.
Yeah, so good. So good. Because it really is a numbers game. So if you can do that on a consistent basis, then you are going to see results. But I like how you've broken it down so simple, just one person, and do it on a daily basis.
And then make it a habit.
Yeah. I love it. So good. So if people want to find out more about the work that you're doing, also look at the book, purchase the book, where's the best place for them to go?
TheSetbackCycle.com has a little description of the book, all the retailers where you can buy it from. And I am on Instagram at Amy Show, AmySho. Drop me a DM, send me a message. I'm on LinkedIn too. I'm on all the things.
We will put all the links to those the show notes. But my last question for you is, do you have a phrase or a mantra that you like to live by or that you just really like that you can share with the audience?
Sometimes I get caught up in the day-to-day of what I have to do. And I'm like, oh, I have to do this thing. I have to do this project. And if you just reframe it with a, well, I get to do this. That's kind of nice. Because even if it's a small thing like invoicing or whatever mundane activity you're doing, think of the bigger picture. Why are you doing this? I'm doing this because I'm building my business and I'm supporting my family. I am writing this book and doing all the book marketing, which is a whole thing, because I want to get this idea out in the world and help people work through setbacks. That's why I wrote it. And that's why I am going all over the place, talking about it, you know, and doing a lot of travel and stuff. So I think remember your why. And remember that even in the most mundane activity of your day, you get to do this. And it is wonderful.
Yes, that is such a good reframe. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you so much for being here. It's been an awesome chat. I've learned so much myself. And I know everyone listening has as well. And so, yeah, I appreciate you being here, Amy. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful.
Thanks. I learned so much from that conversation and I hope you did too. I hope you really took on board the different practical, actionable steps that Amy shared with us around moving through your setback cycle and really using what you have experienced to set you up for your next opportunity. I also loved all the things that she shared about networking. You know, I talk about networking all the time. And so I hope you've taken those on board. If you want to follow Amy, get connected with her, purchase the book, go over to our website, careerchangemakers.com/podcast, so you can find the show notes for this episode where we share all of the links. All right, that is all from me for this week. I look forward to speaking to you very, very soon. Until next time, look after yourself and keep moving towards your career goals. If you enjoyed today's conversation, be sure to subscribe to the show so that you don't miss any future episodes. Also, I would love to know what your biggest takeaway has been from today's episode. Come over and join us in our Career Changemakers community over on LinkedIn so that you can join the conversation there. Head over to lightboxcoaching.com/community and it will take you right to the group.